Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So let's talk some Badger basketball, shall we? Jim Polzin of the State Journal, MadisonGuide.com, joining us. You can find him at Jim Polzin WSJ on Twitter. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. So last night, the, quote, selection committee, if you want to call them that, they project the 64 teams in the tournament. It looks like the Big Ten is very dominant. And I was asked earlier today, you tell me, is the Big Ten the best basketball conference in the country right now?
I think it is, because there's legitimately 12 teams at this point that have a shot at the NCAA tournament. I don't know if there's a great team in that bunch, but you look around the country and there's probably not a great team. It's a very parity-driven landscape right now, and that certainly describes the Big Ten, where essentially teams are taking care of business at home and struggling on the road. And what you're going to have is a lot of records at the end of the regular season, I think, that don't look very pretty. But these teams should be certainly battle-tested once they get in the NCAA tournament. I don't know how many are going to make it, because I think at some point you just need a certain number of wins to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wisconsin's in that group. But I do think that it's from at least 1 to 12, it's as deep as it's been, you know, as long as I can remember.
I look at the teams that are ranked, in Maryland and Penn State and Illinois and the Iowa Hawkeyes, I believe, are ranked as well. Michigan State outside of the top 25, which is an oddity within itself to see them sitting there at 16-8 overall and 8-5 in the Big Ten. But Purdue has had a good season. Obviously, the Badgers are hanging kind of in there. Boy, Ohio State has fallen off because of some injuries, but they're still 15-8 and considered the possibility of a tournament team. But here's my question. With these teams, you'd said there's not a dominant team in there. I agree with you, but you're only as good as your weakest link going into the tournament. So how many teams legitimately do you feel make it in? I mean, do you cut it off at a team, say, like the Golden Gophers, who are a game under 500 in the conference, yet with a 12-11 record, or a team like Ohio State, who's fallen on hard times but started out as the number one team in the country for a little while after knocking off North Carolina? I mean, where would you go as far as taking some of these teams?
I just think some of that is to be determined yet. I'll use Wisconsin as an example. They're 14-10 right now. If they end the season with 17 wins only, like if they're 17-14 at the end of the regular season, and they lose their first game of the Big Ten tournament, they'd be 7-15. And you'd look at their resume, just take out the record, look at their resume. They'd have a ton of quad one wins, and a lot of impressive wins on that resume. But I just think 17-15 is something the committee is going to look at and say, you know, that's too close to 500. That's not enough. So I do think getting to 18 wins in Wisconsin's case is important. And I think you can throw other teams in that category too. Purdue, Minnesota, they've all got, you know, good net rankings, good wins against, quad one opponents. But I just think you need to hit a certain threshold. And I think 18 is probably that number for a lot of these teams. So, it's a matter of getting to that point, and the problem is this league kind of cannibalizes each other, and you at some point you're going to have some teams that don't get to 18 or 19, and the committee is going to decide. Now, the committee doesn't look at, you know, we can only have X amount of teams from one conference in the tournament. They'll take 11, they'll take 12 if all these teams are worthy when compared to other teams. But I think it's going to be hard for them to put 10 Big Ten teams in, just because I think at the end of the day, some of these teams aren't going to have enough wins, and predicting who at this point is almost impossible because of, you know, just it the narrative changes almost every week in terms of who's hot, who's not, and you know, who's winning enough games.
Talk with Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal. Yeah, I think the projection was a 10 or 11 teams coming out of the Big Ten. The Big East was 6, SEC, Pac-12, Big 12 with 5, and then it kind of trickles down from there. So clearly the Big Ten having the most teams in, but I, like you said, it's pretty fluid and it'll probably change as time goes on. Now my next question is this, more close to home when it comes to the program, what is the state of Badger basketball right now?
You know, I was asked that, someone else asked me that, and here's what I'll say to that, is that it's so fluid. You use the word fluid, and I think that's what it is. I think it's fluid. I think 2 weeks in a row now they've had negative headlines during the week and tough losses. You know, they follow a tough loss at Iowa, where they, you know, had a double-digit second-half lead and lost that game with the news that Kobe King's leaving the program, Brad Davison's suspended. And I walked into the Kohl Center that Saturday thinking there's no chance they'd beat Michigan State, and sure enough, they beat Michigan State. You know, last week the main headline during the week was strength and conditioning coach Eric Helen losing his job over you know, using a racial slur. Mm-hmm. And again, the team is without one of the key ingredients of their team, and yet they on the weekend they rallied to beat, you know, they rallied around each other and they beat Ohio State pretty handily. So I think that says something about the guys on the team and the coaching staff that they can, you know, in times of trouble and where things look the bleakest, they can kind of rally around each other and win games they need to win. You know, I look back at the Kobe situation. He said a lot of things. He said he had a lot of problems with Greg Gard. Clearly, he said there are others frustrated, and I, you know, until others come out and say that themselves, you just kind of gotta you know, take it with a grain of salt. So I don't know. I just think the situation is fluid, and we'll see where it goes from here. But there's been every reason for this team to go in the tank and just start losing games and getting on a losing skid, and that hasn't happened, which I think is says something about kind of the inner workings of the program and the kids involved.
With everything that went on in the off season, the tragedy, the uncertainty, does, no matter what happens, does this program get a pass to kind of reconstruct itself and with some pretty good recruits coming in? Or do you say, let's air it out? You know, do you think Barry Alvarez says, let's air it out and let's try something else? Or do you just wait until the end of the season and then make that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say that. Like, let's see how this plays out and let's see if there's any further departures would be something that to consider. But you mentioned two key factors here is that, you know, when the Howard Morris situation happened, Greg Gard did a really good job of being the face of the program and kind of leading what they call a family, you know, the people inside that building at the Kohl Center, kind of leading them through it and rallying the group and kind of getting through tragedy. Everybody's just kind of going through it together. And I think he did a good job as the face of the program of kind of helping them cope and move forward. So that was, I'm sure that's something that Barry Alvarez saw and is going to consider. You mentioned the recruits too. I mean, right now they have 9 recruits lined up over the next 2 classes, 5 scholarship guys and a walk-on in the 2020 class that are signed, and 3 more in the 2021 class that are unsigned but clearly committed. And those guys have been, you know, if you go on social media, those guys have been super positive, even after the Kobe King departure, about what they feel is a positive direction of the program and their feelings about Greg Gard. So I think all that stuff needs to be taken into consideration. And, you know, and again, I'll go back to the fact that this team has not gone in the tank. And that's another positive in Greg Gard's favor is that, you know, they've been winning games despite all the turbulence the past 2 weeks. And, you know, they're on track to make the NCAA tournament again. And again, it's another thing that will be judged is how they do in the NCAA tournament. They could have a great final stretch here, and if you go on and done, some people are just going to look at this season as a failure because that's how it was last year. They went 14-6 in the Big Ten, but they lost to Oregon, and it was ugly in the second half, and really that's the thing that people want to remember that season for is the way it ended, not kind of the journey leading up to that.
Going again with the program, look, I don't want to see Greg Gard lose his job. I know that, you know, there are some people that just say, look, Bo Ryan never out of the top 4 when it came to the Big Ten. He had back-to-back Final Four appearances. He had that program going. He had a certain way of doing things. You know, that's where he's going to forever be compared because he was Bo's right-hand man, and he was hand-chosen by Bo to take this program to the next level. I'm not comparing him to Brad Soderbergh by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a rumbling that said, he's not getting it done. At what point do you pull that plug? And like I said, I'm a defender, but it's hard to say, like you had mentioned, when you perform poorly in the postseason and you get beat handily in the second half of that ball game, if they should go one and done again this year, does that cry become extremely loud from the outside in?
Yeah, I've been saying this for, you know, essentially 3 years now. Because I think this also needs to be taken into account is if you fire Greg Gard, who are you going to hire? Like, give me a name. Who's the next person? And people want to say Tony Bennett, right? And, mm-hmm. and Tony Bennett would be a great fit for what this program is about, the culture, knowing this program inside and out. You know, there's no doubt he's a great coach and he'd be a great fit. I just don't think he's someone that wants to leave where he is. I think he's got
well,
a
they just paid him
there.
A boat ton of money, too. Right. I don't think he's leaving.
Right. So then who's the second choice? Who's someone when you look around the country? And I think the thing that needs to be acknowledged here is that there are challenges to winning at Wisconsin. You need someone that knows the culture. You need someone that knows what type of academic fits you can get to come and play here. It's Barry Alvarez found out when Brett Bielema left and he began the search for a new, you know, new coach. There weren't people lining up on the door knocking down his door to get that job because they know that it's not an easy place to win because of geography and academics and all that. And I think the same would be true for basketball. Is you know, I don't think it's going to be a job that's highly sought after by someone. So then you run the risk of, you know, the program falling into a hole and not improving, not trending upward. You know, the thing with Greg Gard is he hasn't been Bo, right? And I think that's what people look at him and say he hasn't been Bo. I'm not sure who would have won 70% of their games like Bo Ryan did. There was a stat floating around a couple weeks ago that among coaches with 50 Big Ten wins, because this was right after Gard got his 50th Big Ten win, you know, over the last 40 years, Gard had the eighth best winning percentage in that group. And the guys above him were, you know, Bo, Izzo, Bob Knight, Gene Katie, Thad Matta, Matt mm-hmm. Painter, those guys, those names, right? So he's not Bo, but I think he's done a pretty good job of winning enough games that, you know, you at least have to take that into consideration.
Jim, great stuff as always. Appreciate it. And we're going to touch base as the season winds down. The Big Ten tournament gets underway and we start heading to the NCAA tournament, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, pal.
Talk to you later. Go to the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com. You can read Jim's stuff right there covering the Wisconsin Badgers or at Jim Polzin, P-O-L-Z-I-N-W-S-J on Twitter. Jim Polzin, W-S-J on Twitter. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.